Okay, good evening, everyone. Good to see you. This Shabbos is Parshas Chayesura, so we're learning tonight selections from the Netziv on Parshas Chayesura. In the very first pasuk of Parshas Chayesura, the Netziv addresses something which is a general question. I mean, he discusses it, reading something into the first pasuk of Parshas Chayesura, but he says something here which is very interesting and chashuv. Maybe we could have discussed it more directly in last week's parsha. In last week's parsha, in Parshas Vayera, when Yitzchak is born, Sarah wants, after Yitzchak grows up a little bit and leaves the lap of Sarah, Vayida Hayelet Vayigomal. So now he's out of Sarah's clutches in the direct sense. Avram is now celebrating. She's grown up a little bit. So she sees Yishmael and Yitzchak, and they're competing for space in Avram's house. And she says to Yitzchak, I don't want him here. I want you to send away this maidservant and her son because I don't want him to inherit. And Sarah, Avram is upset, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, whatever Sarah tells you, Shema B'Kayla. Whatever Sarah tells you, listen to her voice. Says Rashi, right? Say Chazal, what's the idea? Why should you listen to everything that Sarah tells you? It doesn't say listen to what Sarah told you about this thing. It says listen to whatever Sarah tells you. Says Rashi, L'madnu she'Avram tofa l'Sarah ben Arias. This teaches you that Avram Avinu was second tier to Sarah in the Avius, in prophecy. Hashem said, whatever she says, listen to her. She's smarter than you are. She has more divine inspiration than you are. So the Netziv has a very simple question. How many times in the Torah does it say that Hashem spoke to Avram? I don't know, but a whole bunch. How many times in the Torah does it say that Hashem spoke to Sarah? Zero times. One time, it says in Rashi, Hashem was saying that to Sarah. And you know what that was? That was a rebuke. Loi ki tzachakt. Vayomer, loi ki tzachakt. It was Ruach HaKodesh. When Hashem wanted to deliver the message to Sarah that she was going to have a child in a year, what did he do? He sent malachim. He didn't say it himself. He sent malachim. And those malachim made sure that Sarah was in earshot behind the door, and then they told it to Avram, like, how's Sarah? Okay, she's listening. Okay, Avram, I want to tell you something. Very indirect. Chazal point out that it's indirect, that Hashem didn't speak to her directly. Avram was second to Sarah in the Avius? Doesn't match up. Isn't that a good kasha? You ever had that kasha? Isn't that a good kasha? Famous Rashi. She's better than him in the Avius.
Where does Rashi say it's from?
It's a chazal. It's a chazal. I don't remember exactly where it's from. It's let's see if we have over here. In my Chumash Rashi, it doesn't tell you exactly where it is, but it's Gemara in Sanhedrin, maybe. You know, the Maral was just for a trip down memory lane. This shiur started with learning the Gur Aryeh on the parsha a few years ago, and the Gur Aryeh says beautiful thing. He says, remember when Sarah's first introduced us? There's Sarah and there's Yiska. Right? She's Yiska. So like it's confused. Like why? What's with Yiska? What's with Sarah? So the Maral says Yiska was her maiden name and Sarah was her married name. That's what he says. That's what he says. And he says that's why when Avram's name changed from Avram to Abraham, Sarai's name changed from Sarai to Sarah. Because that was the name of her association with Avram. And he says, I'll prove it to you. Why? Because what's the meaning of Yiska? Rashi says, one is, if from Soicha everybody looked at her, she was so beautiful. And the other was, because she was Socha B'Ruach HaKodesh, she gazed with Ruach HaKodesh. Says Rashi, that didn't come from Avram. You know how I know? Because she was greater than Avram. So therefore, she didn't get it from Avram. She must have had it independently. She was born with that. Then she married Avram, and she got other fine qualities. Right? But the Ruach HaKodesh was her own. She wasn't Tafel Avraham HaNaviyah. But look, the record doesn't speak that way. The record has Hashem speaking to Avram over and over and over and over again, and to Sarah never directly. What's going on? Says the Netziv, and this is the Yesoy, he's saying it as Pshat over here in the Pasuk, but this is a principle which is taught to us. Ramchal writes about it in Nevuah and others. He says there's two kinds of Ruach HaKodesh, there's two kinds of Nevuah. The terms are often used sort of interchangeably. One is HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to you and says, I have to tell you something. And when it came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming and saying, I have to tell you something, Avram had tons of that and Sarah had virtually nothing of that. But there's another Ruach HaKadosh. And the other Ruach HaKadosh is where your spirit, your thinking, is such that it is aligned with the thinking of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That through contemplation and through focus and direction and detaching yourself from material things and the confusion created by material things, you're able to link your thoughts to the thoughts of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And not that Hashem says, hey, I want to tell you something. But you find your way into the inner chambers to be able to discern and to understand the thought of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Netziv, in that Sarah was superior to Avraham. In open messages, Hashem didn't give open messages to Sarah, hardly. He gave open messages to Avraham. But in being able to discern, that Sarah was superior. And the Netziv does something. I don't know how many times he does this in his entire parish, but he says, as the Chassam Sofer wrote in his beautiful introduction, he quotes the Chassam Sofer, or he references the Chassam Sofer. What's the Chassam Sofer? This is the Chassam Sofer, which was like part of the canon in Ner Yisrael when I was in Ner Yisrael. Rav Ruderman used to. Like to share the Chassam Sofer. It's a very beautiful Chassam Sofer, actually on last week's Parsha. Chassam Sofer says, when Hashem comes to tell Avram, how can I hide from about Stein? He said, how can I hide from Avram what I'm about to do? Avram's going to be a great nation, and so on and so forth. Right, so I have to tell him what I'm about to do. Says Chassam Sofer, I don't get it. Right? Avram Avinu is a great person. Hashem's going to speak to him. Since when do we find HaKadosh Baruch Hu apologizing, explaining why he's about to give Nevuah to a Navi? I'm going to tell Avram because I'm going to tell Avram. Why do I have to explain why I'm going to tell Avram? Said the Chassam Sofer, because Avram wasn't a likely candidate for Nevuah. You know why? Because a Navi usually will be mispodate. He will sit by himself, clarify his thinking, spiritualize his mindset, and through some process like that, he will connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avram was too busy washing the feet of Arabs that came through his area so that he could welcome them to his home and teach them about HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have and to develop the kind of mindset of connection to have those things. So therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Avram doesn't naturally get to know what I know because he doesn't go through that spiritualization process. But on the other hand, you know why he's doing that? He's doing that so that the world will know about me. I'm not going to deprive him of that knowledge. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, unnaturally spoke to Avram. He says, I'm going to tell him, even though he won't get it naturally by himself. Sam Sefer says that he says, a person who gives up on his ruchnius, so to speak, because he's trying to get people closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make it up to him. He may not have as much time to be able to learn for himself and grow for himself and focus on his davening because he's too busy making sure the davening runs or that other people daven or whatever else it is. Hashem's going to make it up to him. That's what Chassam Sofer said. And Rav Ruderman, who you know, taught Achrayus and taught, you know, sometimes people asked him, and he wrote a Sefer Avodas Levi when he was a young man. Brilliant Sefer on Kochim. And then he said, you never wrote anything again. Never wrote another Sefer. He said, that's right. You know what I did instead? I spent my time cultivating hundreds of boys who would write their own Avodas Levis.
It's like Mordechai leaving the Beis Medrash to save Klal Yisrael.
Right. So that's what the Chassam Sofer says. And the Netziv cites it over here. He says, Sarah Yimeinu was Ba'ayel. Sarah, even though we have Rashi before that Sarah Megayaras is Hanashim, But Sarah was a much more low profile. She was able to be misbeinen. She was able to develop herself to have insight. Avram was too busy taking care of the masses to do that. So Avram, Hashem spoke to him explicitly more. But when it came to the intuition, the insight, Yishmael doesn't belong with Yitzchak. Nobody told me, but I'm telling you, Yishmael doesn't belong with Yitzchak. Avram listened to Sarah. She knows what she's talking about. Very chashuv. And again, Rishonim speak about the difference between Ruach HaKodesh and a shlichus, a nevuah, which is a shlichus, a message which Hashem gives explicitly. That's one nitziv, a chashuv nitziv right at the beginning of the parsha. Nesi Elohim ato b'seichenu. This is a classic kind of a nitziv. Nitziv like to talk about society and leadership and structures. And in our parsha, we have a beautiful description where the people of the Bnei Ches, they turn and they say to Avram, you are a Nesi Elohim, you are a prince of God in our midst. What is exactly a prince of God? What does that mean? A prince of God, a godly prince. What does it mean? So the Netziv says as follows. I'm going to read to you a little bit. This is Pasuk Vav. Yeshnei mine gedula vehanhaga. There are two kinds of greatness and leadership. Echad maniga medina bechachma v'nikranasi. One is a person who has the wisdom to guide a political entity, to guide a society. Beis manig anshi elam binyane ilikus ish v'uma b'shem elokov v'yikori ish elikim. The second one is the spiritual leader who guides people in values. He's not the Mr. Manager. He's not the person who's able to figure out the economy and the defense and so on and so forth. But he needs to set a tone for the values, the morals, the religiosity, the faith of the community. V'Avram Avinu hayu metzuyan b'shnei dvarim. Avram Avinu excelled on both fronts. And this is a beautiful nitziv. He says, in the Gemara in Bava Basra, in Perek HaMecheres HaSfina, it says, "Bevsho shemeis Avram Avinu." When Avram Avinu died, "Amdu alav b'chabura," they stood over him, "Va'amru," and they said, you may have heard this phrase many times. Maspidim, eulogizers, say it at the funeral of a great Jew. They say, "Ayla olam she'aved manhiga, va'ayla sfina she'avda kabarnita." Woe to a world that lost its guide. Woe to a ship that lost its captain. That's what they said when Avram Avinu died. Says the Netziv, why double? Why the double expression? The world that lost its leader, the ship that lost its captain. So he says, "The manig olam hu davar yoker lahasik chacham benavin v'shari midais." He says, leader of the world, wow, that's like a very special quality. A person who has the wisdom to be able to have the vision and the breadth of mind and, you know, anticipate and so on and so forth. That's the manig olam. He says, the kabarnit l'sfina, the captain of a ship is not a visionary. The captain of the ship is a technician, right? It's an umnus. You know, you gotta know. You gotta know sails, you know, gotta know waves, you gotta know, you know, wind speeds, you gotta, I don't know what you gotta know. I'm not a captain of a ship, right? Aval bedavar echad hu lehepach. He says, but on the other hand, there's something which is in the other way, where a kabarnit is very, very much more. You know, we'd say, oh, that this guy's a big, it's a captain of the ship, you know, just good technician. But he says, on the other hand, the kabarnit, the captain of the ship, if you lose the captain of the ship, you are in immediate crisis. If you lose the great manig of the world, it's not tanking in a minute. It's not overturning in a minute. Okay, so you have to cultivate a new leader. You have to, you know, have to come up with it. But the role of the person is not as urgent. It says about Avram Avinu, says the Netziv, that she was shnei mine avedus. Banhagas hamedina haya kaim k'moy manik chacham nala. It says when it came to leading the community, he was that manig ha'olam. He was that manig ha'olam. He was the nasi. But on the other hand, banhagas avedus ha'olam haya kabarnit l'sfina. when it came to conducting people in matters of faith and morality, Avram was like the captain of the ship, not the aspect of being a technician, the aspect of being critical. Avram was critical to the spiritual well-being of the world. And so he says, you are Nesi Elohim Atah B'Secheinu. You play both roles. You're a broad and brilliant leader, and you are leading us in the path of God in our midst. And that was the way they referred to him. A political leader and a spiritual leader, both at the same time. That's another comment and idea that the Netziv shares here. I want to share with you two comments from the Netziv that we have in our parsha in two different places that follow a similar model. From those of you who have studied the Maral, studied with us together or on your own, you know the Maral will always be focused in words of Chazal more than in Psukim was what he taught us how to read. But you know, when you mention a number of things, each thing has an aspect to it. And the Maral explained it in his own way of Machshava, and the Netziv explains it in his own way of close reading of texts. So we're going to have two examples here. Avram says to Avdoi, Zekan Beisai, HaMoshel B'chol Asher Loi. Right? He's appointing Eliezer to go find the Shidduch for Yitzchak. And he says, I'm coming to tell his servant, Zekan Beisai, the elder of his house, HaMoshel B'chol Asher Loi, who controlled all that was his. Why the lengthy introduction as to who Eliezer was? Writes the Netziv. When a person is going to try to make a deal, okay, this is the Netziv's little-known work. It's called The Art of the Deal. When a person is coming to try to make a deal, says there are one of three methodologies that a person would use in negotiating a deal. Pam, sometimes, al yidei loshon rak of haftzara, if you're trying to find the Netziv, I'm sorry, I didn't say where it was, Perek of Dalet, Pasuk Beis. Pam, al yidei loshon rak of haftzara. Sometimes you're going to try to be very soft-spoken, cajoling, you know, trying to gently come to an understanding. Some, you're going to try to make a very intelligent and compelling argument for why this should be. And sometimes you're going to try to do it in a muscular fashion. You know, sometimes you soft pedal the deal. Sometimes you want to say some kind of clever thing, hey, this is going to be good for me, it's going to be good for you, it's going to be, you know, it's a win-win situation. And sometimes you just say, hey, you know, this is a deal you got to do. There's a reason why I have an ability to compel you. So he says, it all depends on the situation. It depends on the person with whom he is dealing. And not everybody's the same. Says the Netziv, and there are people, you know, who are also good at one kind of negotiation, and people are good at the outside, at another kind of negotiation. You know, you say, we're going to try to sweet talk this deal, I'm going to call so-and-so, he's a good sweet talker, right? But if it gets rough, I'm going to have to pull him, and I'm going to have to get the hard-nosed guy, and he'll come in and he'll do it, or the fast-talking guy who's going to do it b'derech chachma. It's three different people. However, Avram Avinu is sending someone to go find a wife for Yitzchak. He needed someone who would be able to pull on all these tools. So he called upon Avdai, Zekan Beisai, HaMoshel B'chol Asher Loi. Right? Avdai HaMoshel? Avdai, his servant, HaMoshel? He says, Avdai is the quality of someone who's able to be a servant. A servant says, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. What can I do for you, your sir? Are you happy with this, sir? Is this okay, sir? Eliezer knew how to be an Evid. And in a negotiation, he could speak like an Evid. He was Zekan Beisai. Zekan Beisai is, what's a Zokain? in biblical terminology, a zaken is not just an older person, it's a wiser person. So he was clever, he was smart, he was shrewd, and he would be able to negotiate well. Chazal even learned from Eliezer was a kan beisai that he, as he brings, Eliezer yoshev b'yeshiva, zaken v'yoshev b'yeshiva. And HaMoshel b'chol asher loy, was he was the CEO of everything that belonged to Avram. He may have been Avram's servant, and to Avram he said, yes, sir. But to everybody else in Avram's household, he was the boss man. And everybody said to him, yes, sir. And he knew how to throw his authority around. So he says Eliezer had all the qualities that would be needed in order to be able to, in order to be able to negotiate the situation, come what may. And by the way, and you could see it subtly in the Netziv as he goes on in the Parsha, in his discussions with Lavan, he employed these things. He was very, you know, deferential to them in certain ways. And when it came time that he wanted to leave and they wanted to hold on to him, he stopped being deferential. He says, no, we need to go. And on the other hand, the whole presentation was, look what happened. Look what happened. May Hashem yotza adover. He elicits from the Avdei Avodah Zarah, may Hashem yotza adover. It's pretty good. So Avdoi Zekan Beisoi, Meshel B'chol Asher Loi, is a list of qualities that present a diversity of approaches that are helpful in negotiation, and that he ended up employing along the way. That's one illustration. This is nice subtlety, very nice subtlety. It's what you call a close reading of the pasuk. Now we're going to try another one of the same, and that's in the same perek, pasuk tezayin. V'hanara, this is Eliezer's first meeting with Rivka. V'hanara, Taivas Mara Ma'id. She was very beautiful. Besula v'ishla yada. She was a woman who had never known a man. Vatered ha'ayna v'atmalei kado v'atoal. She went down to this fountain and she filled up the pitcher and she came up. I'm translating it specifically that way. That's the likely translation of the pasuk. One could translate it as she lowered her kad, but it doesn't say this. It says she went down into the fountain, she filled up her thing, and she came up. Says the Netziv, these are three descriptions of Rivka. And listen to how he breaks it up. This pasuk is describing what Eliezer observed that leads to the next pasuk, which is Vayaretz Eved Likrasa, that the Eved ran to greet her. You know, you could read the pasuk that Rivka was the only woman coming out. He finished talking, here comes Rivka. Right? Okay, fantastic. But the Netziv assumes that this was a crowded watering hole, that there was a lot going on here. Rivka came out then, but there was something about Rivka that made him run. Three things about Rivka, and they're all described in this pasuk. Number one, Taivas Mara Ma'id. She was exceptionally beautiful. She was exceptionally beautiful. And the Imois, the Torah describes by all of them that they were exceptionally beautiful. You can ask why it was important, why it was necessary. I don't know. They also told us to make the Beis HaMikdash beautiful. There must be something, there must be some value in the basic things of, you know, maybe it's a hiddur mitzvah to have beautiful avos and imois. I'm saying that, you know, somewhat, you know, a hiddur mitzvah. This is the source of a great Jewish people, of a beautiful, of what's supposed to be a great people. So that's number one. Number two, v'sula v'ish lo yada. Okay, now we could translate simply. That was a great quality. She had never been with anybody. But it's not just Basula. It's not just Basula. You could tell maybe she was a Basula because the minag, which we have, they also had a Ba'ula dressed differently than a Basula. Right? They were already, so to speak, spoken for. But he said, Ish lo yada, a man didn't know her. She is bainim bashein ladavari manoshim kumeshiro shari bisul shal koma kirinai son bashir yugil mukhoyem liyasim arayim etzal beer. He says, Yeah, there were other basulais who were going out there, but they knew the guys. I mean, there were shepherds and there were shepherdesses, and they knew each other. Oh, hi, how you doing? But she, nobody knew who she was. She stuck to herself. And finally, this is Mamish out of Megillas Rus. And he himself, he quotes the Gemara in Shabbos, which says this about Rus. Remember what it says about Rus? It says the same thing. What's Bayez saying? Who is this girl? Who is this girl? He noticed some exceptional things about her. The Pasuk never says that Rus was very beautiful. He doesn't say that about Rus, doesn't discuss that. But it does say, what do Chazal say? He noticed two things about her. One is that she was sitting off to the side. The ishla yada'a. She was not hanging around with the shepherds at lunch. And the other was, he saw that when she went to pick up to collect the leket, she didn't bend over in a way which would somehow compromise her modesty, but rather she did it in a very elegant way. And here he says, what did he saw? He saw she went down into the ayin, she filled up her pitcher, and she came up. When the shortcut is lean over, bend down, draw the water out. So he saw these three things. He said, this is a woman who is worthy leben adeni, to the son of my master. So again, he's just taking a pasuk, which is just describing three things, and he's parsing it and seeing something in each stage of what the pasuk is teaching. Okay. Another thing that we have here from the Netziv, and this is really, really, really interesting. Where we are is Perek Chav Dalet, Pasuk Nun Aleph. Lavan and Besuel have the epiphany. They say, wow, this is amazing. Me Hashem Yotza Adover, this is from God Himself. What can we say? We can't say bad or good. Hine Rivka lefanecha kach valech, here is Rivka before you, take her and go. Uthi isha leven adeinecha, may she be the wife for the son of your master. Kasher diber Hashem, as Hashem has spoken. What did Hashem say? Did Hashem say anything?
No.
Kasher diber Hashem. Says the Netziv, first of all, Mashahaira b'hashkocha pratis hudvar Hashem. Something which is obvious in hashkocha pratis. And this story was a story which was clear to them, the hashkocha pratis. He says the tefillah, everything works out. That is Hashem speaking. That's Hashem speaking. Chazal, there's a Chazal which says we don't have nevuah anymore through words, but we have a nevuah through maisim, through events, through things which happen to us. Rav Avram Grodzensky, Hashem Yikem Gomoy, the son-in-law of the Altar of Slobodka and the successor of the Altar of Slobodka, has a mimer in the Sefer Torah Sarov, in his Sefer, Yisurim Kenevuah. Like things which happen, you get a message, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking. And he said it as, Me Hashem Yotza Hadavar. Right? So Kasher Diber Hashem, excuse me, Kasher Diber Hashem, the Netziv references that he says, that he said before by the Akedah, bring him up to Al-Achadorim Asher Oymare Lecha, to the mountain that I will tell you. Did Hashem ever tell him? He never told him. But he just figured it out from what he saw, from the cloud, whatever it was. So you see, events is also HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to us through events. Okay, so that's the first interesting thing. Nice idea. But listen further. Vine aleinu lehizbainin. We have to think. Lama ze nitzvach lehechachis kol kachi ish asher achiyach Hashem leyitzchak. Halei gam lehechachis hayinin taivu matzach ulevkush teisha leyitzchak. He says, why did they need such hashkocha pratis for this to be a shirach? It's not just stamazai a good idea that Rivka, the daughter of Besuel, should be a child for Yitzchak, the son of Avram and Sarah? I mean, it's a nice match. For was nicht? You know, why do you need? Hashgacha, just as I was coming, I said this. And I mean, it makes for a good Sheva Bracha speech. But this was just a good shirach altogether. You know, this is not not a shocker. The Nira Oid. First he says, well, maybe they have to say that because they may have similar origins, but Avram lives all the way over there, and Rivka lives all the way over here. She's got to leave home. Like, why should you do that if it's not something more compelling? Could be. The Nira Oid. But it's also possible as follows. Bashir kol zivug eine ala kafshid rachmana shekachu mitchilas hayitzira. He says, a zivug is supposed to be something which is bashert, right? Chazal say, you know, then the Ibn Ezra, just mentioned it between Melech HaMarev, the Ibn Ezra says that the reason why Avram says Elekei Hashemayim veElekei HaOretz when he's Mashbia, Eliezer about the Shidduch, right? Rashi has the question. Other times he's called Elekei Hashemayim. He says because this is about Shidduchim, and Shidduchim is Bas Pliny, Lepliny, Hashem decrees in heaven what's going to be on earth. That's why it's called Lekeshma Lekeh Oretz. So he says, it's Kashid Rachman. Vim Eine Meitzi Zivuga Eine Eile Yafa. And if it's not the right one from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it doesn't work. Afal Gav Shilu Lefir Ra'is Ein Adam Hu Yashar. Even if it would seem to make sense, even if the Shidduch seems to line up, but it has to be divine. Mishum hachi, hanoise isha shalomi beis aviv, ze atzma haichacha shu siba min hashamayim, she is davgu ledeya achas. He says, if a person marries somebody who's dissimilar to them, if a person meets somebody and wants to marry somebody who's dissimilar to them, wow, that's a chiddush. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to sit and be mezavik zivugim, make shidduchim. How do two different people, manage to come together to get along? Of course, it's because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, he says, if you get two people who, they're so similar, they come from such similar backgrounds, they grew up with the same hashkafas, they grew up celebrating Thanksgiving or whatever they celebrated in Aram Narayim the same way, and they want to marry each other? What's bashert about that? That's logical. For this shidduch, you need signs of hashgacha. You hear what he's saying? It's like ipcha mistavra. It's counterintuitive. He says, if you have a shidduch of two people who are very different and they come together, they want to marry each other, there's divine glue that's at work. If you have two people, that's like a no-brainer that they would come together. Who says that that's Menashemayim? Maybe it's just because, okay, they're just going with what they would be expected to like. That's why here, Nitzrach Ezeh Chochok Mi'Hashem. Isn't that interesting? I like it. It's surprising. But that's what the Netziv suggests over here. And I'm going yes?
Why would we think that and Yitzchak
and
not a shidduch? Why is it such a
chiddush? No, that's what he's saying. That his question was, it's an obvious shidduch. What are they looking for in Menashemayim? They're mishpacha. They're cut from the same cloth. Why do you need such signs in Menashemayim? So he said, you need such signs in Menashemayim because it's too easy. If it's difficult and they want to marry each other anyway, then you know it's because it's Menashemayim. But if it's too easy, then you need a Simon Hashem. That's what he's saying. It's like Ipchem Estavra, a counterintuitive. Okay, in the few minutes we have left, and we have some time, Baruch Hashem, I would like to share with you the Netziv, that may be one of the most famous comments of the Netziv in his commentary on the Chumash. It's also a netziv about marriage, and it's again many people quote this netziv. You may have heard it before. I've said it over before in other contexts, and it's very, very, very interesting. So, You've heard of love at first sight. So now we're going to learn of another at first sight. Because we just spoke before about what Eliezer saw in Rivka. Now, at the end of what we have as Perek Chof Dalet, right before Shishi, we have when Yitzchak first encounters Rivka, when Rivka first encounters Yitzchak. Yitzchak goes out into the field, Vayiseinu Vayar, he lifts up his eyes and he sees, and camels are coming. And Rivka lifts up her eyes, right? You can see it, you can hear the background music already, right? And Rivka lifts up her eyes and she sees Yitzchak. Vatipoil me'al hagamol. And what does she do? She falls off of the camel. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever ridden on a camel, but I did that tourist thing. That's very frightening. Camels are very tall, right? Right? We wait for it to really lower itself down. She fell from on the camel, and she fell for him. And she said to the Eved, who is that man that's coming towards us? And the Eved says, that's my master. And she takes the tzaif, she takes the kerchief, and she covers herself up. Writes the Netziv.
On
Samach
Dal or
Samach Hay? On Samach Dal. Starts on Samach Dal. Mispalel. She saw him while he was still davening. There's by very, very chashva Netziv on the previous pasuk about the tefillah of Yitzchak here. Tefillah for Sheduchim, tefillah for Parnasa. But he says, Yitzchak Ba'idim Isfal, Vahayas Kamalach Alakim Ne'erim Ma'ayit. Seeing Yitzchak davening, could you imagine? Remember, Yitzchak is the Amud HaAvoda, right? Torah, Avoda, Gemilus Chasadim is Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, or Yaakov Yitzchak Avram. Yitzchak is Avoda, Yitzchak is the Akeda. Imagine Yitzchak davening. She sees Yitzchak davening. Niva Sama'ayit, she was overwhelmed. She was awestruck, but she didn't quite know what it was. She didn't know quite what was going on. She says, "Mi ha'isha lazeh? Who is this man? Asher ani mispoil mispachad mimenu, that I'm feeling such awe from him." And he tells her, "It's him. It's the man who you're going to marry." So she covered herself mered pachadu busha. Again, she was overwhelmed by this person, so she covered herself out of fear, out of embarrassment. Who am I to be this man's wife? Writes the Netziv, Umeoz v'holo nikba baliba pachad. From that moment on, she was awestruck by Yitzchak. And he says, and you see it came out, she didn't relate to her husband like Sarah had related to Avram, her husband. Or like Rachel did with Yaakov. When Sarah was upset with Avram, what did she do? She told him. When she had a point she wanted to make to Avram, what did she do? She told him. She pulled no punches. Rachel also. Right? Why haven't you given me children? Rachel didn't pull any punches with Yaakov. Mashen kein Rivka. Rivka? Did Rivka ever say anything straight to Yitzchak? There was one time where she said something directly to Yitzchak. And it wasn't even straight. Huh? I can't stand these women here. I can't have Yaakov marry someone from here. So she comes right out and she says that to Yitzchak. That wasn't really her intention. Her intention was, Esav wants to kill Yaakov. I need to get Yaakov out of town. So even when she was forward, she was not forward. So this story, says the Netziv, is the introduction to the relationship of Yitzchak and Rivka. The tone setter for their whole relationship that we're going to learn about in next week's parsha. Yitzchak and Rivka didn't see things the same way with regard to their children. But Rivka never said, let me set him straight. Let me tell him. Ki yidasa emes ki yisav raksayim. If she knew the truth, but she couldn't tell him. V'chein b'shas habrochas. Right? When it came to their first relationship with them, loving him, he's getting you because of tzayid b'fiv. She couldn't tell him. When it came time for the brachas, v'chol zeh hayasiba mi'akadosh baruch hu, she hagia yagiu habrachas Yaakov dafka b'ayfin kazeh kasher yivur b'mkayim. And writes the Netziv, right? We're going to write at the bottom of the screen tonight as we finish the shir, to be continued. Right? And he says, this is all a setup, because it was essential for Yaakov to get the brachas in the way he got the brachas. In other words, it's not like you might have said, okay, well, because Rivka couldn't be straightforward, that's why it ended up that Yaakov had to get the brachas, you know, birmiya, you know, through trickery. The Netziv says it the other way around. It was important for Yaakov to get the brachas the way he got the brachas. And if Rivka would have been forward with Yitzchak, he would have gotten the brachas outright. We needed that their relationship should be this kind of relationship in order for this to happen. If she was a wife like Sarah and Rachel and Shem, Lema Givazef, and it wouldn't have happened this way. So that was the meaning of this first meeting, that Rivka should encounter Yitzchak Dafka at a time when he was at his holiest, and she should be overwhelmed, and that would leave its imprint on their relationship forever. And this is a fascinating Netziv. Teaches us many things, and Meretz Hashem, hopefully next week we'll have a chance to explain what he means by why Yaakov had to get the brachas this way. But one thing you know is that we have Avos and Emois, and the relationship between husband and wife was not exactly the same by each of them. There's such a thing as a relationship which is open, and there's such a thing as a relationship which is less open. And it's not that one is functional and one is dysfunctional. You know, the psychologist is going to write about this and say, Yitzchak and Rivka didn't have a very functional relationship. They did have a functional relationship. They were the second couple and they did fine. There are different models for how a husband and wife relate to each other. It's not always chummy chummy. It's not always open. It's not always hidden. It's one of different models, and the Netziv sees that starting right here in this story. Okay.
I think it's very common for women to view this relationship between Yitzchak and Rivka as the, I don't know if you want to call it exactly the ideal, but they tend to look more